Well, praise the Lord. Anybody happy to be in the house of the Lord? Amen, amen, amen. It's been a good day, and it's been a good week. Lord's been working, ministering, and I'm just happy to be in the kingdom of God. There's a lot of other places we could be. A lot of other things that we could be focused on. There's a lot of people going a lot of different directions in life. But I'm happy to be living for the Lord. It's the best life. It doesn't matter if you're rich or poor. It doesn't matter what the financial temperature is. It doesn't matter what the political temperature is. It doesn't matter all of that stuff. If we're focused in a relationship with Him, that's what matters. That's what matters. This evening, if you would, turn with me to the book of Matthew, chapter 13. And I'm thankful for a pastor that preaches truth. And I appreciate very much the opportunity to teach, and I don't take it lightly. And so this evening, I'm going to do my best. I'm going to have to take it really, really easy on my voice. It tends to flee from me at times, so I don't want to scare it away. So I'm going to try to be as easy as I can. Matthew 13, and beginning with verse 3, if you have it, say amen. Amen. And he spake many things unto them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went forth to sow, and when he sowed, some seeds fell by the wayside, and the fowls came and devoured them up. Some fell upon stony places where they had not much earth, and forthwith they sprung up, because they had no deepness of earth. And when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprung up and choked them. But other fell into good ground and brought forth fruit, some hundredfold, some sixtyfold, and some thirtyfold. Now, if you would, turn with me to 1 Corinthians chapter 3. A real quick passage of scripture there, 1 Corinthians 3. And we'll begin with verse 6. If you have that, say amen. Amen. I have planted, this is Paul speaking, Apollos watered, but God, everybody say, but God, gave the increase. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God, everybody say, but God, but God that giveth the increase. Now, he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. Amen. You may be seated. Tonight I want to take just a short moment and teach just a little lesson, just something I really had on me the past few days about planting and watering. Planting and watering. Planting seed, there's a lot of different ins and outs. There's a lot of different variables to planting. It's not, well, for some it's easy. For others, it's a little challenging. You've heard of those that have the green thumb and they're able to bring forth and the abundance of God's earth is there, and then others make an effort, they try, but they can't really bring forth like they would like to. But in God's plan spiritually, when the kingdom of God is concerned, Everyone has the ability to plant, to water, and to see increase. It is not, well, I just don't have it in me to reach souls, or I just don't have it in me to be a blessing to somebody or to help somebody. That is God's plan, his purpose, his will for every single born-again Christian, to reach a soul, to reach somebody that is lost and that is in despair, because we were once in that place. We were once in that situation that we needed somebody to reach to us. We need somebody to pray for us. And so being thankful of what God has done in our lives should promote that reaching in us towards someone else. So a seed needs to be a good seed. 1 Peter 1 and 23 says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. So when we're born again, we are not born by a corruptible seed, something that, if you look at the original wording there, it talks about something that can wither, something that is not complete, something that is not whole. It could mean several different things, but the word of God is distinguished here from corruptible seed by basically giving us the idea that it's pure. It is incorruptible. It is not able to be tainted in any way or broken down. The word of God is always going to be pure. It's always going to be right. It fits every situation. It fits every circumstance. It doesn't matter if some of these books of the Bible were written thousands of years ago. They still apply today, because the Bible is not a book of specifics necessarily, but it is a book of concepts. And if you get the concept of what the Word of God is saying, you can take that concept and you can apply it to every culture. You can apply it to every generation. And there is no culture and no language and no generation that escapes the Word of God. All should adhere to, all has a responsibility to hear and obey the Word of God. So you don't want to plant bad seed. You don't want to plant bad seed. Funny story, my brother-in-law, they had a different house than the house that they live in now, and it was in Carthage. And so they had a nice manicured lawn, you know, everything was green and everything was just perfect, you know, and everything, you know, had the little sidewalk in front of it and everything was just right. There wasn't any bahia grass for a long while. I mean, this was the middle of the city. There wasn't any cow pastures or anything like that around. Well, all it took was a couple of visits from his parents, who lived out in the country, and they decided, you know, the lawn is nice, and it's a short distance from the car to the house through the lawn, so we're just going to walk through the lawn. What they didn't realize is they had seeds on their shoes, and pretty soon, little sprigs of bahia grass started shooting up, and my brother-in-law would run out there, and he would try to take care of that one and squirt that one and spray that one, and three more would come up. And it was finally they just gave up. It was a bahia lawn because that seed was a, you don't have to work very hard to plant weeds. They just happen. It's part of the curse. You don't have to work very hard to get the unwanted to come up. The thorns and the thistles and the briars, all of the junk. But you have to really work to cultivate, to get something that's pure, something that's worthwhile. And that's the way that spiritually things begin to happen. If you walk in the flesh, it doesn't take a whole long time for things to just start sprouting up. You don't have to work very hard to get a child to lie to you. You don't have to teach them how to lie. It just sprouts up. They just know. I'm going to get out of trouble. Watch this. Mom and Dad have no clue. They've never been in my shoes before. I am so good. Did you eat the cookies? Oh, no. Mm-mm. Chocolate everywhere. Oh, no. No, no. Absolutely not. You don't have to teach them how to do that. They just know how. They know how to sin because that is innate in our nature. It's there. The seed is there. And if we allow ourselves to continue in the flesh and we walk through life in our flesh, we're going to put seeds everywhere we go. You see, we don't have an option to not plant. You're going to plant something. You're going to plant good or bad. It doesn't matter what you want to do, what your intent. Well, I'm just not going to, I'm just going to stay on the down low. I'm just going to live life and just not, you know. No, people are watching. And they're going to make a determination based on your life wherever you go. I mean, I guess you could go to the Sahara, find a nice rock to call home. But eventually there's going to be a wanderer that's going to come through that desert and find you. And you're going to drop some seeds somewhere. You cannot get away from planting. It's going to happen. And so throughout life, we have to make a decision. How am I going to plant? Is it going to be good seed? Is it going to be bad seed? If a farmer walks through the field and he's broadcasting seed, that's good if he's got good seed in his bag. But if he's got corrupt seed, if he's got something mixed up in that seed, if it's spilling out, if he's casting out other seed with it, those things are going to come up. And so it is in our spirit that we have to be careful what we're planting. You got to be careful when you go to work. You got to be careful whoever you hang out with, because seeds that they're dealing with can get on you. And you can just start spreading stuff without even realizing it. You start spreading attitudes and spirits, even in church. Even in church, you can spread stuff that has no business being in the house of God. And you might not mean to, but if you're not living it, you'll start spreading stuff. And pretty soon, before you know it, you're tracking through everybody's lawn and just leaving a trail. And so we have to be careful. 1 Peter, again, compares corruptible seed with incorruptible. It says that the word of God is the incorruptible seed. The word of God, this Bible right here, is what we want to spread. This gospel, these concepts, these things that are the basis of life, this is what we want to deal with. And it liveth and abideth forever. Isaiah 61. And if you like, you can turn with me. If not, maybe they can be kind and put it on the screen. Isaiah 61, beginning with verse 1. And it says, "The Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He hath sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that who might be glorified? That he might be glorified. And they shall build the old wastes. They shall raise up the former desolations. They shall repair the waste cities, the desolations of many generations. So we see here the prophet Isaiah is speaking. And in the New Testament, Jesus actually uses this same passage of scripture when he stands up and begins to announce and proclaim that the Spirit of the Lord has anointed me to preach the gospel, to bring good tidings. But the prophet Isaiah here, it's interesting. It's like he is talking about some seeds, that the planting of the Lord could be there, that he might be glorified, that there would be trees of righteousness. Trees of righteousness. What are you thinking about when you think of a tree? That man that is faithful, that man that walks with God, shall be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. There's something strong, there's something bold about a tree. It's not just a small little growth, but it is something that the Lord is saying, I'm going to cause you to grow up and to be strong, to be able to weather the storm, to be able to stay put, to be able to be steadfast. And you see throughout Scripture, the tree is representative of a place of shelter, a safe place. It is a place of strength, the tree. And so the first seed, preach good tidings unto the meek. Mark 2:17, Jesus says, they that are whole have no need of a physician. Okay? They that are whole have no need of a physician. They that are sick, I came not to call the righteous, but the sinners to repentance. What is he saying here? He's saying that there's some that are not in a place to realize their need. The Lord cannot help somebody that has no need. I'm fine. I'm okay. The Lord cannot help somebody. He cannot reach and transform somebody that says, no, I got it. I'm okay where I'm at. I'm going to be all right. I'm just living life. He says, okay, well, you just go ahead and we'll see. We'll see what happens. Those that are sick, those that have a need, the sinners, the ones that realize, I need help. That's the ones that he's looking to. And if you notice, all through, the Spirit of the Lord, God is upon me. He's anointed me to preach good tidings, okay? To preach good tidings unto the meek, to bind up the brokenhearted, proclaim liberty to the captives, the opening of prison to them that are bound. You see a picture of people that are in a bad place. They're in a dark place. They need help, and they know they need help. That's who the Lord is reaching to comfort all them that mourn. And so we get a picture of a field out there, and we're trying to plant. We're trying to put the word of God out, and we want to see things of righteousness begin to bloom. We want there to be life. We want there to be things grow up there that can be for his glory. Trees of righteousness for him. And then it says, appoint unto them that mourn in Zion. What does that mean? That means, if you look at the word Zion It's referencing Jerusalem or the area, the chosen area of Jerusalem, Israel. It's representative a lot of times of the church. It's representative of that chosen place where God would dwell. There's even mourning sometimes inside the church. There's even needs inside the church. And we need to not only focus out there, we need to help each other. And if you see your brother or your sister in need and there's some ashes, then there needs to be some, let me help you trade that out. Let me help you with some beauty. Let me give you some oil of joy for mourning. Let me help strengthen you. Let me help you when you don't feel like praising on a Sunday morning or a Sunday night. I'm going to get next to you and we're going to praise together because I want to help you get that garment of praise on. And when you don't feel like you can make it, I've got a little bit of faith that I can say, look, I got enough for both of us right now. Let's get in this together. Let's worship the Lord together. We're not in this to make it to heaven alone. We're in this to make it to heaven together. And so there is a message here that there is supposed to be a broadcasting and not a sparingly cast out seed. Well, I'll take one over here and I'll put it there and I'll take one over here. And this brother's been nice to me, so I might give him half a seed. It should be all the time. It should be the help of the Lord, the joy of the Lord, reaching and loving one another. Inside the church, there's callings, there's giftings, there's helps, there's spiritual growth that needs to happen to us. Not just to them out there, but we got to grow. I want to grow. I don't want to just come into the church and stay the same. I want to grow. I want God to continually work in me. I don't want to just stay the same and say, well, I've been in church. I forgot how many years, but I've been here. But Pastor say, somebody said, I've been in the way 40 years. Yes, you have. Yes, you have. I don't want to be in the way. I want to walk with him, and I want him to teach me, and I want to grow. David said, I'm like a green olive tree in the house of the Lord. If anybody knew a relationship with God, it was David. David had an insight that a lot didn't have. And we see that because of God's response to David. We see that because of God's love for David. God was just drawn to David because of the spirit and the desire that David had for God. A man after my own heart. That's what God said. But David pictured himself as still growing. God, if you want to mold me, if you want to direct me, you know, there's been a planning, but I still need direction. I still need help. And David wanted to, as crazy as it sounds, he wanted to be the full-grown tree, but at the same time, still be the green olive tree. He wanted to be strong and resolute and powerful in God, yet at the same time, always be submitted and obedient and willing to do the will of his Father. That should be the desire in us. And so, preaching, teaching, and reaching. There is a planting that should be going out because of our relationship with him. It should cause us to want to reach out. In the workplace, it should cause us to want to talk about him. It should cause us to want to do something to reach hearts and lives. There is a planting And then Peter talked about a watering. Paul. I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Psalms 126, 5 through 6 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. He that goeth forth and weepeth, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing his sheaves with him. And this psalm is actually talking about the return of captivity. But the concept still applies. The concept is still there. God pays attention to tears. God honors tears. And it's good. It's really good to want to reach souls. But there's a next level when you weep over a soul. There's a next level when you take that desire and you bring it before the presence of God and you begin to shed tears and you begin to cry out to God on their behalf. There's a story about Verbal Bean. Brother Bean was in a certain location. He had been preaching a revival in a city, and a man drove up, and he saw Brother Bean sitting on the front step of this particular building, and I don't remember if it was a church or if it was just a building in the city. And the man noticed that Brother Bean was crying, and he stopped, and he walked over to him, and he addressed him and said, Brother Bean, is there anything that I can do to help you? And he said, no, I'm okay. He said, well, I noticed that you were crying, and you looked distressed, and I just wanted to extend my help to you if I could be of assistance. And Brother Bean said, no, I was just wondering if anybody had ever wept over this city before. And he said, there's all of these souls in this city, and I don't know that anybody has just sat down and wept to God for them. He said, so I just felt like weeping. I sat down and I began to cry. And you know, Brother Bean was on to something. There's something that God pays attention to when we take his work seriously enough to weep over it. When we take his work seriously enough to say, it matters to me that I'll take the time and I'll weep over these souls, to weep over this city. How big of a revival could God give if we could get a burden inside of us to just say, I want to weep over some souls today. I want to give of myself. I'm not sad per se, but I know that there are souls that are lost and they're going to hell. And that burdens my heart because I know it burdens God's heart. That kind of desire brings results. There is a story, there's a man, and we've been over some of the words, the Hebrew word study in youth class. But he tells the story about his desire, his relationship with God, and his prayer has always been, God, I want to know your heart. I want to know your heart. I want to be close to you. And he said he was praying and he was asking God to reveal these things to him. And the Lord, like in a vision almost, he began to envision this ballroom and this great feast. And everyone was laughing and enjoying themselves. And the Lord was there. And he was walking and he was talking and greeting and just... the presence of God was there so strong. And the communion with the Lord was there. But this man said, as he watched, the Lord slowly began to make his way to the side of the room, and everyone was consumed in the party, and everyone was enjoying themselves. And the Lord made his way to a door, unmarked, really wouldn't even notice it was there unless you were looking for it. And the Lord went to the door, and it was like he spoke to the man and said, "This is the room that I'm going to enter now. It's the weeping room. If you want to know my heart, would you come in with me and weep for those that cannot attend this party? Those that have not known a relationship with God. Those that don't know the joy of living for God. Those that are lost and in despair. Those that are confused, that are out in the cold. Would you like to come with me and weep over them?" And that touched me when I begin to read that and realize how much it matters to God. How much it matters to God that we take those things that matter to him and make them what matters to us. Jesus wept over Jerusalem because they did not know their appointed time. He stood before the city and he saw the city and he saw the people and he saw the fans in their hands. And instead of being excited and turning to the disciples and just having a time of rejoicing, he began to weep because he saw the souls. He saw what was going to happen in this city. He knew that the people were unaware of really who he was and what he was coming to do. And he wept. There's planting and there's watering. There's planting and there's watering. And when you plant and water, God gives the increase. God will give the increase. Mark said, "So is the kingdom of God, as if a man should cast seed into the ground and should sleep and rise night and day, and the seed should spring up and grow up. He doesn't know how." He doesn't know how. But you notice the man keeps going back. He doesn't just throw it out there and then 6 months later come back and say, "Well, got 2 ears of corn there. That's good." There's a concern that the man has, and he casts out seed. And so there is something to be said about casting out seed. There's something to be said about a relationship with those that we're in contact with every day. And maybe there's somebody that you are around that you're not even aware of. You're not aware of their situation. You're not aware of what they're dealing with and facing. But can God use you? There's a man that I work with, I've talked to, I don't know how many times. I go out and check on him, and we talk, and he's a really good guy. Monday, I just, for whatever reason, decided to walk around the outside of the plant. And I just felt like, well, I'm going to go check on this and go check on this. And I came around, and he was walking next to the area. He mans the chip smokers out on the side of the facility. And he was just kind of walking out there. And I walked up to him and greeted him just like I always do. And pretty soon the conversation got on the Word of God and on prayer. And he looked at me and he said, I pray. He said, I pray every day. And I pray that the Lord would help me. And I could see he was kind of feeling. He was testing the waters. And I said, man, prayer is one of the best things that you can do. And we began to talk about prayer. And we begin to talk about the Word of God. And pretty soon, as I was just giving seed, pretty soon I could see a tear. And he'd wipe that tear away, and he'd wipe another one away. And we would be talking, and he said, "Man, you don't understand." He said, "Before you came out here, I was just walking around, and I couldn't get this to be quiet." He said, I got so much stuff, and it's weighing me down, and it's burdening me, and I don't know what to do with it. And I've been praying and asking God, please help me. I can't handle this." And he said, "And then you show up, and I feel something different." And I said, "Well, let's pray right now. Let's pray right now. And we're gonna ask the Lord to help you. And I'm gonna come back and I'm gonna check on you every day, and we're gonna talk. We're gonna have Bible studies, we're gonna do whatever you need. I'm right here." And so we prayed, and this man said he grew up Catholic. He said, I don't know about all of the other churches, and I had actually mentioned to him about a Pentecostal church. I said, "Have you ever been to a Pentecostal church before?" "No, I haven't." And I said, "It's a little different. You have people raising their hands, and you have people clapping, and you know the music. Everybody's dancing and moving to the music." And he said, "Oh, I can't handle that." He said, "I can't handle that. It killed my anxiety. I can't do it." I said, "Normally I'd agree with you." I said, "If it was just the music, and if it was just the loud noise, and if it was just the people of their own accord just doing whatever they wanted, I probably wouldn't want to attend either." I said, "But when you can walk into the house of God and you can feel something, when you walk in and you feel the Holy Ghost," and he goes, "Oh." I said, "Yeah, when you feel something and you realize these people are not running and jumping and they're not lifting their hands because they just want to. It's because of what they feel. And as they do it, the feeling intensifies, because what you're feeling is God. It's the Spirit of God, and he's wanting to do something inside of you." He said, "Where do you go to church at?" So we might have a visitor here before long. We begin to talk, and pretty soon I said, "Let's pray." And he started off like this. He wanted me to pray. And so I started praying. And I prayed like I know how to pray. And I prayed that the Holy Ghost would get a hold of him. And I prayed that the angels of God would encamp around about him, and they would help him in his thinking and his emotions. And pretty soon he began to go, He began to feel something. He didn't know what he was feeling. He didn't know how to explain it. But the same thing I was telling him got on him. Some seed started coming up. But God gives the increase. It's not me. It's not you. We just do what God told us to do. And God gives the increase. And so, There is a concept there. There is a concept there that if we just take what God has given, we take that precious seed and we just begin to spread it out. And we plant, you know, you can't necessarily always walk up to somebody and say, "Hi, my name is Brian. I'd like to invite you to church." "Oh, well, praise God. I'll show up soon." No, it doesn't always work that way. A lot of times it takes relationship. A lot of times it just takes being there. And it takes planting seed that you don't even know you're planting. Just by your daily tasks, just by going about. You're walking and you're spreading seed, but it's not bad seed. It's good seed. And everywhere you go, the Holy Ghost is tapping people and just beginning to, "Hey, what'd you think about the Word of God? Hey, I want you to think about prayer just a little bit." And as you walk through, there's been people that I've talked to that, and he was one of them, they started the conversation. It wasn't me. because of feeling something. There was something there that promoted that. And so it's that casting out seed, that broadcasting. God, how can you use me? How can I be available to you? There will be an increase. Could you stand with me? So who is it? Who is it that God can use you to reach to? Who is it that God can use you to weep for? Who is it that is around? Maybe you can't go out, but you can pray. I have a grandmother that's 91 years old, and she can't get out anymore. She has a lot of difficulty. But she's told me several times, there's not a whole lot I can do, but I can pray. I can pray. I said, Dee Dee, you go ahead and pray. You do what you can do. And that matters. He said, he that planteth and he that watereth are one. They're still working. They still care about the kingdom of God. And God is going to reward accordingly. But it's up to us to start getting it down on the inside and letting it matter to us. I wonder if we could lift our hands right now. If we could just ask the Lord to put that in us. God, let it matter to me. Oh, God, let it matter to me. God, let me get a hold of that good seed. Let me get that word of God on the inside that I can broadcast it to this world, to those that I'm around day in and day out. God, let me be a vessel. Let me be that one that can be used of your spirit, God. I want to see your increase. I want to see your growth in the earth. I want to see your kingdom increase, God. I want to see you work and help. I want to see you heal hearts and lives, God. I want to see you put families together, put souls together, God. Help us. Help us, Jesus, to help others. Let it matter to us, Jesus. Let it matter to us, Jesus. Hallelujah. 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 We don't have a lot of time left. We don't have a lot of time left. He's coming back soon. He's getting ready to harvest. He's getting ready to put that sickle in. I want to plant as much as I can. I want to give as much as I can for the kingdom. Hallelujah. Could it be more prayer time? Could it be more reaching? Could it be some Bible studies? However you can spread this gospel, however it is that you can pray, a focused prayer. Pray for the backsliders, those that have known the truth and have gotten distracted, that have gotten pulled away. They need to be in this church. This needs to be a mixture of backsliders coming in, new people that have never known the Holy Ghost come in. All cultures, all languages, all races, everybody. We want them in the house of God because we want to go to heaven with them. And so tonight, take this with you and let it be something that you chew on, and let it be something personally that you just begin to pray about and say, God, how can I be effective in your kingdom? How can I get this gospel message out? How is it? Brother Williams, he makes these tracks and puts them in the back. And there's been several times that I've used some of the things, and I've used bits and pieces of different tracks, and I've used them in Bible studies. I've used them, and he's reaching people he doesn't even know through those because they're going out. People are picking them up that don't even know the fullness of truth and just looking at it and saying, God, I got some questions about this. And that seed is there. And that seed is there. How can we get that seed out? How can we be used for the kingdom of God? One more time, I wonder if you could lift your hands and just love the Lord. Just reach out to him.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to be a willing vessel, a vessel you can use. I want to be a willing vessel, the instrument you choose. I want to empty of myself, available to you. Let me be a willing vessel. Be a willing vessel. Be a willing vessel you can use. I want to be a willing vessel.
Could you sing it tonight?
Can you?
Oh, I want to be.
I want to be a willing vessel.
The instrument you choose.
I want to empty of myself.
Available
to you.
Oh, let me be
a willing vessel.
Let me be
a willing vessel.
Oh, let me be a willing vessel you can use.
I want to be a willing vessel.
A vessel you can use.
I want to be a willing vessel.
The instrument you choose. I want to be
empty of myself,
available to you.
Let me be a willing vessel.
Oh, let me be
a willing vessel.
Be a willing vessel you can use. Amen. Be encouraged tonight. There are people that are watching you. You might think you have no influence on their lives, but there are people that are watching you and looking at you and saying, there's just something about them. There's just something there. And they're thinking about it, and their thoughts are there, and there's just keep planning. Keep planning. Keep planning and watch God give the increase. Can we give him a hand clap of praise tonight?
Thank you. Thank you.